Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game, so just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode. Here we go again. Beautiful day in paradise. It is Tuesday as I record, and as always, so happy to be here with you all. Have some good stuff, good stuff to talk about today. I'm going to start off with a review, of course, if I have one to start off with, I'm always so excited to share and thank the person for reviewing on iTunes. It helps us to reach new people and certainly helps to fuel my fire. So let's see what Master and Margarita had to say. Smile at Fear is the title. Great tool for facing your shadows. For example, after a year of listening to the podcast, I finally got the courage to write a review. But when I saw the template in iTunes for writing the review, I was suddenly concerned with writing the perfect one. I closed out of the window only to hear that little voice inside me say, "Do it, do it, do it." So here I am, unconcerned now with what I am writing. This is a great little podcast wherever you are on your spiritual journey. It helps me reflect on ups and downs of my life, all wonderful lessons in my personal growth. I've been interested in spirituality for 15 years, but only began actively practicing it daily a year ago with the help of this podcast. Thanks, Brandon and Dalian, Erica, Nixie, Anita, and any of the other co-hosts. Well, Master Margarita, thank you for showing your masterful skills of looking at your own shadows, your fears, right? That are just these ideas made up in your head, like writing a review. Something as simple as that can be crippling to some people. And you know, here and it's certainly nothing to minimize, you know, anyone. We all have different levels of things that can cause anxiety or fear or things like that. And, you know, I believe it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, do something every day that makes you uncomfortable. Push yourself to the limit, push yourself to the edge. And that's really what we're trying to do here with this show, is give you the awareness that, hey, it's okay that you have fears. It's all part of the journey that you're on as you expand and become more of your true self. You strip away the things that are sort of holding you back, as so perfectly titled here, Smile at Fear, right? And that's exactly what Master and Margarita did. And thank you for that wonderful example, inspiration. You are in spirit for sure when you are, you know, facing your fears and dealing with them and realizing, what is it when you face them, when you jump off that ledge? It's a feather bed. It's it reminds me of conversation a long time ago with my friend who was saying he kept dreaming about this wolf creature that was snarling and drooling in his dreams, and it would wake him up frightened like this werewolf character. And finally the werewolf is charging him, this repeated dream, and he embraces the werewolf and they just start dancing and laughing. And so that's really what it is, right? So smile at the fear, love it. It's just a part of you that wants to be reintegrated and shown love. Love is the answer. What was the question? What was the fear? Love is the answer. Right. We got it. So thank you again for writing in. If you guys haven't reviewed on iTunes, please do so. Also, of course, questions. I love getting questions from you guys. Haven't gotten as many questions lately. I used to get more, although I do have some that I haven't actually gotten to in the past, but I love getting fresh ones all the time and just seeing what jumps out. So if you write a question, I don't answer it. I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings in any way, shape or form, but sometimes it's just like, what do I feel? I really, each day it's like, what's jumping out at me? What's saying, yes, this is something. Cause a lot of times, even if you write a question, you may write the question that's perfect. There's so many other people that need it and the timing is right. And there's this whole divine, you know, synchronistic play we're all putting on here together as we coordinate the show together. So you may write a question and maybe 6 months from now, it's perfect for me to talk about, for it to have the greatest impact or good. You may write one and instantly I get it that morning and I talk about it 30 minutes later. So it just depends. It depends. I really just... with these daily shows, I like to let things flow as much as possible and see what's bubbling up for me. What am I being called and pulled to do? So just a little explanation there as to how I deal with that. But I love getting questions, even if they end up on a list and they never get answered. I just really like, hearing from you guys. So you can write in at brandon@positivehead.com. You can join the Facebook group, Positive Heads. Great place to be and write questions there. Connect with other listeners. So please do that if you feel so inclined. Let's see here. Moving along. What am I going to talk about today? I'm going to talk about this elusive conversation that, you know, once again, we talked about self-love on yesterday's episode. We'll talk about it much, much more. Another staple of the conversation of, awareness of awakening that we're all going through. Another big, big bullet point, ego, you know, E-G-O. And you hear all kinds of things about ego. Everybody's greatest obstacle, right? E-G-O. Or edging God out, E-G-O. You know, but then you hear someone like Ram Dass, the, you know, well-respected spiritual teacher. The ego is a tool for the spirit. You don't separate it. It's a tool, right? You hear things like ego, take off the E and let it go. The ego, Alan Watts said, is nothing other than the focus on conscious attention. Well, what the heck is the ego? How do we deal with it? How do we approach this thing? How do we understand it more fully? Of course, you know, I have ideas about it, and we're going to bring in some other ideas in regards to this. So what I'll just start off with saying is the ego is a healthy thing in its right context. What I believe has happened is the ego has sort of taken over control with many humans, whereas we're meant to be guided by soul, spirit, higher self, heart-centered, right? And knowing the connectedness of us all and sort of always operating from this perspective of, what's good for the whole is good for me, because there are no others. Everywhere I go, you know, I'm there waiting for myself. So Yet I also have this experience, this necessary experience of separation to even, be able to comprehend and experience physical reality. So there is this character, Brandon Beecham, but on one hand, the divine dichotomy. On another hand, there is only one of me. And there's only one of us listening to this show. The consciousness that animates my form is the one that animates yours. So I personally believe what we're here to do is sort of find the balance between this separate identity and the connectedness of all things, right? Find the dance, right? Find that walking that fine line. That is the art of living, right? That finding exact the sweet spot between ego and higher self. And instead of it being this thing that is looked at as so bad, and the reason it's looked at as bad is because, you know, so many egos are, you know, out of control, right? It's an inflamed ego. It is completely guiding the human vessel of so many people. And it's just, you know, out of control, and it's destructive. It becomes destructive. It's like anything, right? Water, too much water, you're going to poison yourself and die. Not, you know, water is, on the other hand, it is all of life. So we got to find the balance of how much water to put into our system, right? Same thing with ego. How much you let it sort of navigate. There are times when it is necessary to understand your separateness. Like, let's say if a truck is barreling down the road at you, you might not want to, in that moment, get really zenned out and think, I am one with this truck, so I don't need to get out of the way, right? It's that's a good moment for the ego to say, I'm separate and I better get my butt out of the way. And thought there. So one way, one perspective on it. But what I would like to do, actually, I found a great clip from Osho, who talks about what is ego. I found this on the Indian Spiritual YouTube page. And I think this is a really good breakdown. Let's take a listen.
Man has no center. Separate from the center of the whole, there is only one center in existence. The ancients used to call it Tao, Dhamma, God. Those words have become old now. You can call it truth. There is only one center of existence. There are not many centers, otherwise the universe will not be really an universe. It will become a multiverse. It is a unity, hence the universe. It has only one center. But this is a little to be meditated upon. That one center is my center, your center, everybody's center. That one center does not mean that you are centerless. That one center simply means that you don't have a separate center. Let us say it in different words. You can make on one center many concentric circles, many circles. You can throw in a silent lake a pebble. One center arises by the fall of the pebble, and then many concentric circles, and they go on spreading to the farthest shore. Millions of concentric circles, but they all have one center. Each can claim this center as his own, and in a way it is his center, but it is not only his own. The ego arises with the claim that the center is mine. Separate. It is not your center, it is mine center. It is me. The idea of a separate center is the root of the ego. when the child is born, he comes without a center of his own. 9 months in the mother's womb, he functions with the mother's center as his center. He is not separate. Then he is born. Then it is utilitarian to think oneself as having a separate center. Otherwise, life will become very difficult, almost impossible. To survive and to struggle in the fight of life for survival, everybody needs a certain idea of who I am. And nobody has any idea. In fact, nobody can have any idea ever. Because at the deepest core, you are a mystery. You can't have any idea of it. At the deepest core, you are not individual. You are universal. That's why if you ask the Buddha, who are you? He remains silent. He does not answer it. He cannot. Because now he is no more separate. He is the whole. But in ordinary life, even Buddha has to use the word I. If he feels thirsty, he has to say that I am thirsty. Ananda, bring me a little water. I am thirsty. To be exactly true, he should say, Ananda, bring some water. The universal center is a little thirsty. But that will look a little odd. And to say it again and again, sometimes the universal center is hungry, and sometimes the universal center is feeling a little cold, and sometimes the universal center is tired. It will be unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary. So he continues to use the old meaningful word, I. It is very meaningful, though a fiction, but meaningful. But many fictions are meaningful. For example, you have a name, that is a fiction. You had come without a name. You had not brought a name with you. The name has been given to you. Then by a constant repetition, you start becoming identified with it. You know your name is Rama, or Rahim, or Krishna. It goes so deep that if you all 3,000 sannyasins fall asleep here, and somebody comes and calls, Rama, where are you? Nobody will hear except Rama. Rama will say, who has come to disturb my sleep? Even in his sleep, he knows his name. It has reached to the unconscious. It has seeped through and through. But it is a fiction. But when I say it is a fiction, I don't mean it is unnecessary. It is necessary fiction. It is useful. Otherwise, how you are going to address? If you want to write a letter to somebody, whom you are going to write? A small child once wrote a letter to God. His mother was ill, and the father had died, and they had no money. So he asked God for 50 rupees. When the letter reached to the post office, they were at a loss what to do with it. Where to send it? It was simply addressed to God. So they opened it. They felt very sorry for the little boy. And they decided to collect some money and send to the boy. They collected some money. He had asked for 50 rupees, but they could collect only 40. The next letter came, again addressed to God, and the boy has written, "Dear sir, please next time when you send the money, send it directly to me. Don't send it through the post office." They have taken their commission, 10 rupees. It will be difficult if nobody has a name. Although nobody has a name in reality, but it is a beautiful fiction, helpful. And nobody knows it more, because I don't think anybody in the whole history of humanity has given so many names as I have given. You can count on me. Names are needed for others to call you. Is needed for yourself to call you. But it is just a fiction. If you go deep into yourself, you will find the name has disappeared, the idea of I has disappeared. There is left only a pure emptiness, isness, existence, being. And that being is not separate. It is not yours and mine. That being is the being of all. Rocks, rivers, mountains, trees, all are included. It is all inclusive. It excludes nothing. The whole past, the whole future, this immense universe, everything is included in it. The deeper you go into yourself, the more and more you will find that persons don't exist. Then individuals don't exist. Then what exists is a pure universalness. On the circumference we have names, egos, identities. When we jump from the circumference towards the center, all those identities disappear. The ego is just a useful fiction. Use it, but don't be deceived by it.
So the way he talked about it here is, you know, man separated from the center, from the whole. He talked about it, you know, these concentric circles, right? And as we moved away from the center, the Tao, God, Source, Dharma, right? It becomes, the ego arises, you know, the further you get away from that center. But it's a necessary, useful fiction is the way he put it. But if you then go deep enough, you'll find the name will disappear. You'll find that amness, you know, you hear I am, that beingness, you're just your being. The being inside of you is the being of all. The deeper you go, the more you'll find individuals don't exist. It's, you know, it's pure universalness, the same consciousness. The closer we jump towards the center, the more identities disappear. But it's a very useful fiction. I love how he ends it. Look, this is a useful fiction in the right context. It's useful. It's good. It's when it gets out of control. Too much water, right? It's gonna cause problems if you drink too much. Same thing. Too much ego, it's going to cause problems. It's a useful fiction, but don't be deceived by it. So an understanding that it is, here's what it is. It's a tool that Source uses to, do this dance, this art of living in 3D in the physical dimension. Let's put it in its proper context so it can work for us in a very healthy way. And we can heal all the pain that has been caused by overinflated, out of balance egos on our planet. And that's going to come with the light of awareness, which is what we're sort of shining here, right? Or we're definitely shining here, I would say. I heard another clip by Eckhart Tolle that I really liked. I won't share because we're getting down to it for today as far as time, but I can tell you sort of what was talked about that really resonated. And the clip is called "Did the Universe Make a Mistake with the Ego?" And so you guys can find it on YouTube if you want to listen. But he basically is saying it's a stage in the evolution of our species. We're beginning to see that it has outlived its usefulness, he says. Now, I don't fully agree here that it's there's no usefulness. That might be an overstatement. It has outlived the way we've contorted it and allowed it to get out of balance. And that was a part that we had to go through. He talks about the golden age. You know, you hear about the golden age, this mythical golden age when everything was perfect. You know, that was probably before the ego, where everyone was acting as a whole. Eve, of course, you hear the idea of Eve eating the apple, and that's the fall from grace in the Bible, the story. So, you know, what he's theorizing is, hey, we started out as humans fully connected to Source, which, by the way, this is what it talks about in the book that we've referenced recently, Return of the Bird Tribes. We were completely connected to Source. Slowly but surely, ego took over in 3D and we slowly fell away. Now we're going back to reconnecting with knowing the difference. Now it's one thing to imagine coming into 3D and being fully connected to Source. You left being fully connected to Source and you have a 3D experience. It's one sort of experience, right? It's a beautiful experience, I'm sure. But have the falling away and then reconnect and know the difference because you have lived it. This is the stage that we're at. We're coming back to the knowing. He talks about the parable of the prodigal son in the book. In the Bible. If you guys have ever heard this story, probably many of you have. It's the wealthy son who goes away. He leaves his father. He squanders all the wealth, becomes, very poor. The father says, come back home. He comes back home. Now he has context. He has understanding. Now the love is even deeper before between the father and the son. And that's what's happening with us in Source, I believe, in that Eckhart believes that he shares. And I really like this sort of this perspective on it, right? We fell away so that we could get, we were meant to allow ego to dominate and practically destroy the planet and each other and all these things that in separateness. Now we've had enough of that experience. We're coming back together. The ego is getting put back in its proper context, in its right place, where it can actually service in a way that is helpful and beneficial and not out of balance, right? So, that's my take. I'm sticking to it. Hope you guys enjoy. I hope it helps you to understand yourself a little better, understand the egos around you a little better, right? When you see these people whose egos are way out of balance, they're just still in a different, they're still in a stage in their own personal process, right? Because we're evolving collectively and independently, right? So they're at a place in their own process where they're still, ego is just dominating, driving the boat. And by the way, it's creating a lot of havoc internally. Don't be fooled. When you see them and you're like, oh, what an arrogant jerk, you know, blah. That's someone who feels so cut off from Source. They're not connected to Source and they're inside. There's a lot of pain. And that's a great shield for hiding a bunch of emptiness in a sense. So when you see it, instead of judging it and getting mad at it, bring love to that person, because that's really what they need. They're cut off. They're cut off. They don't know any of this stuff that we're talking about. This is like the furthest thing from their mind, from their awareness. They're wandering lost completely. And all they know is, you know, this ego is the thing that makes me, that protects me, you know? And when you realize that you're one with, you're not a wave separate from the ocean, you're the ocean itself, you can relax about needing to prove anything to anyone. You're the ocean, right? Like, what do I got to prove? I don't have to prove anything. And it puts the ego in check in its proper context. I did find a song here that is a great one. I was looking for something that was ego related. The Glitch Mob, Starve the Ego, Feed the Soul. I would say let's put the ego in its proper context. Let's certainly starve the unbalanced ego. But nonetheless, this is a wonderful song, wonderful thought, wonderful idea. Hope this helps you all as you journey into your magical lives. Until next time, journey well.